How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Dom Allen. And a special welcome to anybody who's joined us because of the adverts that have been going out across the other podcasts. Are you aware of this, Susie?
Yes, I am. Hello, if you enjoyed our advert so much.
About
us not really making any sense.
Such a great advert.
That you've come on board.
Welcome
to the fun train.
Welcome aboard. Oh, and I'm just putting my coffee cup on my saucer as I say it. But yeah,
I love that you have coffee on a cup and a saucer.
Thank you for saying that. I'm very on brand, even in the mornings. And I bought these cups and saucers from John Lewis in a sort of
course.
Thank you. A sort of mid-century vibe about them. Like I don't know. I'll have to show you them, but I'm very proud of them.
You know how much I love a mid-century vibe.
I know how you love a mid-century cup and saucer. So
such a fan.
It's here for you.
Thank you so much.
Is that what people? I feel like that's what people say. I'm here for you.
I'm here for you, and as is this cup and saucer.
And I'm here for that. People say that as well, don't they?
Yes. Well, I'm here for the podcast. Literally, right here, ready to do the podcast.
I agree. I am also.
How are you doing today, Thomas?
Oh well, I'm fine. I can't believe it's July.
Yeah, I'm having real issues believing it's July.
Where does the time go?
I still feel like it's the 31st of, or the 37th, say, of April. I'm all over the place.
When you think, it should be like mid-March, when we all came into the lockdown. But it's not. We're still here, still burning our scented candles.
Yes.
Still
drinking from our cups and saucers.
Drinking from our cups and saucers. Some people drinking something more than coffee.
Sure.
We don't judge.
No, we never judge. We never judge.
Susie, how does your garden grow?
It's growing quite well, thanks for asking. Mm. My garden is my balcony. I was having a great time with the pansies.
Listen, we've done a lot for you.
We've done a lot for the pansies. But then they did start to wilt.
I was speaking on behalf of the pansies, actually.
Thank you. And
they started to wilt.
They started to wilt a little.
They're probably tired.
They're very exhausted. But I've had to move a couple of things around, so they're hitting the sun in a better way. But listen, on the whole, the garden, aka the balcon, is doing well. How's your veg going, Tom?
Well, thank you for asking. Dad has a veg patch, and let me tell you, it's doing very well. The runner beans are reaching for the sky. And also there's radishes and there's potatoes, all of which are
I never know what to do with a radish.
Good question. Good listener question. I do send in your answers. I would say it's just nice on its own, dipped in salt. Everything's nice with salt, isn't it?
Everything's nice with salt. You love your salt, don't you, Tom?
I love salt. And I don't get because it's quite a crunchy vegetable, because a lot of listeners will know that I can't eat carrots because I get what I like to call itchy carrot mouth, where I get a sort of, I guess it's
itchy mouth from a carrot.
Itchy mouth whenever I eat a carrot. So I get itchy carrot mouth.
The title of your issue, it really gets straight to the crunch. It's itchy carrot mouth. You can really work out what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I don't need to explain it beyond that, really, do I? Itchy carrot mouth. But it really, I'm sure it's something terrifying, really, I should be aware of. But I don't know.
I think you'll be fine.
Well, I've got this far. I had some carrots that were going limp last week, and I roasted them in some honey and olive oil. There, how do you like them?
You can eat them when they're not raw.
So I can eat them when they're not raw, yeah. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I've got to be honest, I've not got a massive opinion on it, Tom.
Well.
Your voice is very deep in the morning, isn't it? It's a lovely baritone.
Yes, it gets higher. By the end of the day, I'm very high-pitched.
Yeah. We can never do the podcast past six.
It's almost, it's unbearable.
Then it's just a podcast for dogs.
Yeah, yeah. But they need something too.
They do. They do.
Yeah. What was I going to say about... it's gone.
It's gone.
Straight out of my head. Straight out of my head. I was going to say something about dogs, and then it's gone.
And then it's gone.
I know I was going to say dolphins. Last week we were talking about dolphins on the podcast and the...
Were we?
Well...
Go on.
The series Flipper. And people messaged to say they have actually watched that, the 1960s American series about Flipper, the crime-solving dolphin, I think it was.
Crime-solving dolphin. Do you think he's got a badge?
Yes, I hope so, but I think he has to wear it on a rope around his neck because otherwise it
yes.
won't. There's nothing to pin it on.
Do dolphins have a neck? Another great question. You know the P.O. box. Do get in touch.
Yeah, that's a great question. Do dolphins have a neck? I think I'd be scared if I saw a dolphin because I would think it was a shark.
Yes. Yeah, I think I can understand that. No. I would love to swim in the sea. I bet we've got listeners who are in like Australia or something. Who are locking down by a beach. Or maybe they're not in lockdown anymore.
Well, they can't swim in the sea, though, can they? Because of all the animals that live there that want to kill them.
Well, yeah, that would put me off. I do think when people surf in areas where there's sharks, I think this is silly now.
How good is surfing? Like, what is it? It's just lifting you up a bit, isn't it?
I think it's a bit more than that.
Well,
have you ever tried it?
No. Have you? No.
Yeah, of course, Tom.
I did windsurfing on a lake in Austria during a school water sports holiday.
You went on a school holiday to Austria?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Kitzbühel.
Wow.
Yeah, I loved it.
What did you do?
We did that. We went to Salzburg, the home of the Sound of Music.
Of course. Did you see the fountain?
Yes, we did see the fountain. And also we went to a sort of palace that had these fun chairs. It was really hot and you sat outside on these chairs and then in the middle of one moment they pressed a button and this fountain came on in the middle of the chairs and you got wet. It was great.
Oh, that does sound fun.
It was really great. And we went canyoning. Is that what it's called when you go down a hollowed out river?
Oh, a hollowed out river.
Basically a river that's been dammed.
Damn that river.
Beautiful and the Damned. You jump off like ridges into little ponds. I was quite sporty at that point.
Wow. So, how old were you at this point?
Oh, like 12. Yeah.
You went on good school trips.
That was one of the best ones. Where did you go? Did you go on any residential ones?
We went skiing once.
Oh, that's fancy.
It was fancy, actually. But when you go on holiday, with my school...
Yeah.
For skiing, we had to sit on a bus for like 2 days.
Yeah, that's what we had to do. Yeah, there was no flying.
Oh, horrid.
Yeah, absolutely abhorrent. Yeah.
I can't bear a coach.
I can't either. They make me feel sick.
Yes, me too. And I can't... Some people can read and things on...
Oh, I'd be puking.
...in motion. No, thank you. That will make me feel very sick.
It was so long, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So long.
And then when you got there, I think we travelled for like a day and a half and then had about 4 days or 5 days skiing and then travelled back.
That's a long time.
It was great, actually. It's probably my favourite memory of school.
Oh, were you a good skier, I imagine, yes.
You've got
the build for it.
Thank you for saying that, Tom. No. I think I was, I was quite a natural skier. I'm not sure that I would be now. Could have been a different career, couldn't it?
Could have. There you go, you see.
I could have been one of those fast people that do the slalom.
Oh, you'd be good at that.
Oh, I'd love that.
Did you enjoy wearing salopettes?
Of course.
It's an underused outfit, I think. A matching nylon trouser and jacket combo.
Yeah, it's not necessary, I think, in most other places other than if you're skiing. Although you see sometimes babies in them, don't you?
Yeah.
In the cold. And
I think if you went to certain parts of America, you would see them.
I would love to meet up with you in the winter and for you to be in one of those massive baby ones.
I would love to be wearing one of those and all in
you'd
one
be so
salopette.
Warm. Yeah, you'd be so warm.
Maybe fleecy lined?
I would have thought so.
I'm a bit obsessed with things being fleecy lined at the moment.
Why? It's so warm.
I know, but I just need to be...
Cuddled?
I just need to be cuddled by something soft.
Sure.
You know?
Who doesn't like being cuddled?
Who? Tell me.
I don't know.
I'll wait.
I don't know anyone. I
think people do. Tell me. I'll wait.
What was the worst school trip you went on?
Oh. There was one. It was a music trip we went on to sort of Germany-France borders.
Oh, you went abroad a lot. That was the only time I went abroad with school.
Well, if you were in the music department, they went on more trips.
So what were you doing in the music department, Tom? Playing piano?
A bit, and in the choir. They'd gone on a trip to Florence, and... oh, this is an unhappy memory. My singing... so I'll bring
oh,
it back.
God.
Oh, gosh. So everybody died. No, they... some people said, oh, they're doing a school music trip to Florence. Why don't you, you know, join the choir for it? So loads of people did that. And they got, and then you had to audition to go to Florence because too many people wanted to go. And I didn't pass the audition, but some of the other people did. I forgot about that.
Oh, that is disappointing. Yeah, so you didn't go to Florence.
So I didn't go to Florence. Everyone was like, it was so good. Florence was amazing.
Yeah. That is quite upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was upsetting.
So what happened on the German-France borders?
Well, nothing. There's nothing to do there. We went to, we went on a river cruise in...
What, like an old lady?
Yeah.
Like a pensioner?
Yeah, like old people. And it lasted ages.
They love river cruises, don't they?
Yeah, they love them. Not, it wasn't like one of those ones they advertised during Morse, during the day.
Oh, yeah. Where you can get a free pen if you take out life insurance.
Yes, and a chair that makes you stand up.
Thora Heard, she used to do a lot of that, didn't she?
She did, God rest her soul. Yeah, she was the face of Stella Starlitz for a while. Oh, good for her.
Good for her.
Good
got
for
to keep
her.
The money coming in keep, even when you're old.
You've got to pay for those river cruises somehow.
Do you know what I mean? So
but, yeah, wasn't that why, that wasn't that fun?
You just went there, had a look around, came home.
Basically, yeah. And we did a trip where we performed in a old people's home. I used to talk about it on stage.
Oh yes, I remember. You used to sing the Muppets in French.
Yeah, and then we also went to a campsite as well to perform to some bemused French campers.
Do you like camping?
No.
No, of course not. Me neither.
Do you? Yeah.
No. I never feel clean.
Oh, it's so gross.
It's so grim.
Some people look, but I was watching the coverage of Glatitude at Glastonbury.
We've been to Glatitude.
You're talking about Glastonbury. Glatitude.
You've been to Glastonbury though, haven't you?
Yes.
Who did you see?
Twice. Oh, nobody. I couldn't be bothered.
Right, that's the spirit.
Yeah, that's the spirit. It's too big and you get tired.
You found it overwhelming?
I found it all a bit overwhelming, if I'm honest, yeah. It's lovely, it's wonderful, but it's a day, really, I think.
Right, okay.
Maybe a day and a night. Not those people who arrive on the Tuesday and don't leave till the Monday.
I just couldn't camp for that long.
No, thank you. No.
Although I did watch some of the coverage and it looked... Some of the performances. I mean, Beyonce was just incredible.
Yeah, she was amazing. But you get the best view on television. Sorry to say it, but it's guys who wanted to go to Glastonbury. It's better. It's better on telly.
That's not really the festival spirit, I will say.
I know I'm putting the mockers on it, but have you heard that expression before, Suze? The mockers.
Putting the mockers on it. Is it just putting a hold on things?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I said it the other day, and somebody went, "What?"
Is it the moccasins, do you think?
Fleecy lined. I don't
fleecy know. Fleecy lined. We know how you like things fleecy lined.
I love them fleecy lined. I won't rest until everything is fleecy lined.
What, in your whole house?
Yes.
The kitchen surface?
Absolutely. It's the best.
Oh, I'd hate that.
Imagine being able to rest your head on every surface. Wouldn't that be a lovely world?
You wouldn't ever have to get to bed. You could just fall asleep drunk. Anywhere, really.
Oh, that would be great. Oh, that would be great. Have you been sleeping all right, Suze?
Oh, thanks for asking, Tom. Yeah, I've been sleeping fine. Have you? It's been very warm.
It has been quite warm. I don't like to sleep with the windows open in case somebody breaks in. I'm always anxious.
See, Alice can't sleep with the windows open because she's scared of bugs.
Oh, I don't like bugs either, yeah. Oh, that's
she's
true.
She's particularly scared of spiders.
Ooh. But they find a way, don't they? That's the thing with them spiders.
Well, I don't know if I've ever told you about when, or maybe Alice has told you, when I was in Edinburgh one year... Alice, when there was a spider in the flat.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
So I'm in Edinburgh. I'm fast asleep. Sure. I wake up and I've got like 7 missed calls from Alice. So I'm obviously immediately terrified. Something dreadful has happened. So I ring her. And she was like a woman possessed. She was sort of She was like, you won't believe what's happened. It's so awful. And I was like, oh God, what's happened? What's happened? And there was a spider. And she said it was like the size of her palm. And then legs out like the size of her hand.
Oh,
so like
no.
A really massive garden spider, basically. So she's in the lounge.
Yeah.
Watching telly in her PJs. And then it's early in the morning. And this massive spider runs up the curtains.
Oh, no.
So she, like, screamed, slammed the door close, then rang me 7 times. I didn't answer. Faster Bobbies in Edinburgh.
Oh, my God.
And
she... Oh, my God. What can you do?
Well, then she went in with the Hoover in an aim to Hoover it up. Oh. So then she's, like, hoovered the whole lounge. She can't find it. She's... completely, like, can't find it anywhere. Anyway, Hoover's everywhere. Then she's like, hey, now I'm worried that it's in the Hoover. So then she takes the Hoover down to our bin room, which is on the ground floor. And listen, Alice is a very bright, wonderful woman. I don't quite understand why she did this, but she carried down the Hoover and a kitchen knife.
What? Why? What was she going to do?
In case I stabbed the spider. I don't know. In a moment of stress, that's what she decided
Alice.
To do.
What?
Then anyway, she emptied it. There's no spider.
Worst case scenario.
So then she goes back upstairs. And basically, by the time I spoke to her, she had taken the curtains down and like looked inside the lining.
Oh, and, God.
Like, she never saw it again.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what do you think happened to that spider?
I've got no idea, but I don't really want to know. I'm worried that he's still in the house, but I can't say that to Alice.
Do you think it was real or do you think she imagined it?
I think it was real, probably. She's not one for flights of fancy like me.
So what do you, because in my mind, I think it just crouched up in the Hoover and didn't come out.
But so you think it's still in the Hoover, living maybe. A very dusty life?
Yeah, but they don't mind.
No, probably not.
I wouldn't like to see. I think I'm okay with spiders, and then if they move, I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah, that's the thing. But the thing is, they do move.
Are you okay with them, Suze? Because as
no,
know,
I'm awful.
Very robust. Oh, really?
I am robust. Thank you for saying that.
A robust sensibility towards animals. I was going to say, yeah. But you don't like a spider.
I don't like a spider. No, I can't. When I was a child, actually, we were at home. See, so the house that I lived in when I was growing up was next door to a church, which I found like enormously creepy. Like, obviously not a very big church, a small little...
A chapel.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. And up one of the sides of our wall, there was ivy, which, of course, is a known place for spiders to congregate.
Oh, they love...
It's where they have their meetings and things. Exactly, it's their Glastonbury.
Oh.
So we always got spiders in the house.
Oh, right.
Always. And I was always... And I think that I got the fear from my mum because my mum would freak out and then, of course, I would freak out. Because, of course, what you meant to do... I was at a friend's house the other day and I saw a spider and I really freaked. And I was like, oh, my God, there's a spider. And my friend was like... There's nothing wrong with spiders. Her daughter was in front of us and she was like, there's nothing wrong with spiders. Spiders are always in the garden. It's fine to have a spider in the garden. And had to like do this whole thing. And she was like, we can't give her a fear of spiders, which is absolutely right, obviously.
I mean, sensible, but still.
Yes, but my mum would freak out. And so once, I must have been about 10, mum was changing her bed. Yeah. And she took all the things out and the bedding out. And then she flipped. You know, like if you're giving the duvet a good shake before you put it back in.
Oh, no.
She shook it and a spider went up into the air. And Tom, I mean, like big enough to see in the air. So like a big ball, a big black ball. And then he went down the top of my mum's nightie.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Threw onto the floor.
Oh, that's terrible.
And me and mum screamed. And then... Yeah. And then my dad would do things like he'd pretend to chase me with spiders, which I don't think helped.
I don't think that's the aversion therapy that you...
I don't think that helped. Made.
Yeah, I don't think that helped, you know. I might be wrong.
And so the idea of them I can deal with, but actually in real life, I absolutely cannot.
No,
it's just awful.
Where do they come from? Like, space. Do they come up the plug hole or space?
Yeah.
Do they? Oh yeah. In Australia, did you see any of those? Because you know the unscary ones. Sorry, the most scary ones are they don't do any harm.
Yeah, they're massive.
Oh, I didn't see any of those, thank God. But.
No, neither did I really. But it was something that I every night when I was on tour in Australia, I checked under my pillow.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, just to make sure there wasn't like a few spodlies hanging out.
Spodily? What's a spodily?
That's what my mum calls them.
A spodily. That's nice. Oh, that's lovely. Oh, yeah. I mean,
irrational fears, though. Like, because the ones in England don't hurt you, do they? We're just scared because they look weird.
They can be quite spiteful emotionally.
Can they?
Some of the ones I've met have been really...
What, crazy. Very sort of jealous, difficult people?
Very mean about some of my outfits. My hips.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw a great thing on... I mean, it really tickled me. I sent it to my brother. We both thought it was so funny, which was... There was like you know, one of those like stupid meme things. Yeah. And it was like, there was a spider in my house, so I sprayed hairspray on it. He's now on the loose and his hair looks fabulous. I wonder, do you think we pick up all these fears that we have from like our parents?
Are they like I want to say congenital, which does not mean anything rude. Doesn't that mean like through your genetics?
Oh, really?
I think so.
So do you think my great-great-great-great-great-grandmother was also scared of spiders?
Maybe. Where
does your fear of snakes come from?
I don't know. No one else in my family has it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you won't even look at a picture, will you?
No. I don't know where it comes from, really.
So I remember when we did the comedy bus.
Oh, yeah.
We went to a zoo.
Yeah.
Like a petting zoo type thing. And you just couldn't go in, could you?
No, just went to the shop. Even that was a bit frightening.
Yeah, that is horrid when you've got a fear like that.
Yeah.
Mine's spiders and ghosts.
Yeah, there were no ghosts at the petting zoo, I don't think so.
Well,
okay.
None that I saw.
Would you go on one of those, like, would you get like a clairvoyant to come around?
No.
And bring up the ghosts?
No, I wouldn't. Oh, no. See, No, I don't think so.
Because that's the sort of thing people do on school trips,
isn't it?
They do like a Ouija board.
Oh, no. Did you ever do that growing up?
No.
No, I was far too scared.
Sorry, what were you going to say? I think...
No. I was going to say I couldn't do a medium or anything. I find TV shows...
I couldn't even do a large.
I'm re-watching some of... American Horror Story, because Alice has never seen it. And we have to watch something after it before bed because it's so scary. It can't be the last thing we watch.
Yeah. Oh, do you find that? Yeah, that freaks you out. It's those things that get in the mind, isn't it?
Mm.
I remember going to see Ghost Story.
Ryan Murphy is really good at that. At sort of picking out little things in people's psyches that they're scared of.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's very freaky.
Did you ever see Ghost Stories?
Oh, yes. I found it utterly terrifying.
I did. I did too, for days.
Yeah. It's a film, actually, if people want to look it up. It's now a movie, but I haven't had the guts to watch it.
It's Jeremy Dyson and Andy Nyman.
Yes. It was terrifying. I've never screamed in the theatre.
Yeah.
And I did then.
I do during musicals.
Of course. Of course.
Almost the whole way through. Oh,
ruined company.
Really ruined company for a lot of people. Some people said they added to it. It added to it. Fearful screams as well.
Of course.
But, yeah, the Ghost Stories, though. Oh, I don't know what it was.
It was terrifying.
I found it terrifying. Really scary. And for days, and then we had to go to Edinburgh after we saw it. After I saw it. I think you saw it later.
Edinburgh is creepy. And I think we've spoken about this on the podcast before, but a lot of the flats in Edinburgh feel quite creepy.
Such a scary flat I lived in.
That was a scary flat, actually.
Yeah.
Like, didn't it overlook a graveyard?
Oh, that was another year. I mean, you can't move for like creepy places.
That's the thing with Edinburgh. It does. And it's meant to be... They say, don't they, it's like one of the most haunted places in the UK.
But then I went on a ghost tour. There's like two ghost tours in Edinburgh, and it was rubbish. You just walked around a car park. It was terrible.
But it was full of ghosts.
But it was, yeah, really scary cars. Yeah. All hearses, actually. Loads of hearses.
That's terrifying, actually.
Yeah, really terrifying. Really terrifying.
What have you been watching this week, Tom? Do you have any recommendations for the listeners?
I watched a lovely Alan Bennett documentary this week.
Well, that sounds nice.
Doesn't it?
I feel like doing Zoom gigs is like doing Alan Bennett monologues.
Yes, it is a bit like that, isn't it?
Friend of the show, Kerry Pritchard-McLean, said the same to me, and now that's all I can think when I'm doing it.
Like a Talking Heads?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, like you should be sat in front of like an unfinished sandwich.
Yes, exactly that.
Yeah, about to tell us about how your husband is a serial killer or something.
Yes. Yeah, or just not in a very happy marriage, that sort of thing. He doesn't have to be a serial killer. We don't always have to make it scary.
Doesn't have to be scary. I love Talking Heads so much. Apparently David Sedaris buys it for people as a gift. It's like his go-to gift.
Oh, really? Oh, I'd love David Sedaris to buy that for me.
Nice gift, huh?
Nice gift.
Because I think they get compared a bit, which must be annoying for both of them.
Wouldn't you think that was a bit of a compliment?
Yes, I would. But I think just being compared would be a bit like...
It's a bit reductive, isn't it?
Yeah, reductive.
It's like when they compare us to other gay stand-ups.
Oh, yeah. It's so
reductive.
So like, well, yeah, they have one thing in common, sure, but we're not exactly
I remember a reviewer comparing me to Zoe Lyons, who is a fantastic comic, but I don't think she's far more of an observationalist. Whereas I feel like I talk far more about my life.
Yeah.
And I was just like, the only reason you're comparing us is because she is also a gay lady.
Yeah. I used to get that. And oh my God, yeah. We'd get like the kind of key, which is always nice, but like comparisons. And it just always made me go, is that the only person to compare me to?
Yeah. It's not, you're not being very creative.
Yeah. Well, that is the way with it sometimes.
It is. Now, Tom, before we go, I've got a recommendation for something to watch because I watched it last night, but it is heartbreakingly sad.
Oh, perfect.
So you will have to be emotionally ready for it.
I can't wait.
The Normal Heart.
What's that?
So it's a Larry Kramer play that was made into a movie with Mark Ruffalo in it.
Oh, almost like your name.
Yeah. So similar to my name, but not. Mm. And... it's about the AIDS epidemic in New York in the 80s. And it is such a beautifully, it's so dreadfully sad, but it's such a beautiful story about these men falling in love and also about sort of the fight that they had to try and get the sort of government to take them seriously.
Oh, right.
And it is, it's really heartbreaking, but if you're emotionally ready for a film about that sort of thing, it comes highly recommended. But it was so sad that Alice and I had to watch something afterwards.
Gosh, you two are up all night watching things.
We're up all night. You watch a scary one
and then you watch a sad one. And then you have to watch something else to cleanse those. What do you watch after that?
Dora the Explorer.
Dora the Explorer.
Her and that monkey boots. They're having a great time.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Yeah.
Yeah, something
just
like
to lighten the mood. But that's got the child catcher in. You wouldn't like that.
No, that's terrifying. Can't watch that before Betty's.
No.
None of the Disney films because there's always a dead mum in it.
There's always a dead mum. Or Up, that's got a dead wife.
Oh, see, I can't take any of that. So it's got to be very... Iggle Piggle and that gang. What are they? In the Night Garden.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Something a bit like that. Yeah,
something a bit lighter, yeah.
Good for you.
Good for me. Good for you good too, Tom.
Good for you.
Now, before we go, we should mention that we're doing another live.
Yes, live.
Like-minded friends. Live from Las Vegas via Southeast London.
Yeah. Via a series of microphones and wires. We'd love you guys to join us. We had such a fun time last time.
So much fun.
It was so great to bring everybody together and answer your questions and just have a lovely...
Such a lovely old time. So all the details, we'll put a little link in the show page. But you can find all the details on both of our Twitters and on Off the Curb. They'll have all the stuff there on their Twitter feed and on their website. And if you work for the NHS, you can have a free ticket. You just need to email just need to email them. And it's on the 12th. We should say it's on the 12th. Sunday the 12th.
Sunday 12th of July.
Sunday 12th of July, 8 o'clock. Be there or...
Be square. Be square. Right, guys?
Right, guys? We're cool.
We're super cool. That's what everybody says about us. Also, Suze, would it be all right? Yesterday, when this goes out, announced that I'm bringing out a book in November.
Oh, Tom, I didn't realize it had been announced.
It's been announced.
Okay, it's been announced. Okay, we're going to have a few more minutes of the pod then. So please tell everyone what it's about. I know what it's about, and I'm so excited to read it. Go on, Tom.
It's called No Shame, and it's about growing up feeling weird and all. It's sort of about me coming to terms with being gay, but it's also about me coming to terms with being eccentric and feeling like I don't fit in. And I thought, well, if I write about these things, maybe other people who feel like that won't feel so outside. So I've written it, and it's coming out in November. So you can pre-order it from all good book retailers right now. Please do pre-order it. That would be great, if you don't mind.
I know it's going to be so brilliant. I can't wait for it to come out. I know we've spoken lots about the different sorts of things and stories that are going to be in there. And, guys... You are in for such a treat. It's out in time for Christmas. Why don't you pre-order a couple of copies for some of your best pals? Do what David Sedaris does with Talking Heads. Get it for a few friends. And then you can... It's great when you and your friend have read the same book. You can talk about other things. So maybe get it for a friend and buy a copy for yourself.
Yes.
And you can enjoy it.
Well, that would be so nice if people do that. It's been a very lovely experience to write it and to sort of, you know, revisit some of those things. Particularly in like one's early years that are, a little, that you at the time felt like crushingly embarrassing or crushingly terrible, and to sort of revisit them and kind of almost exorcise them. Since we're talking about that.
And also be able to sort of, I find often, like to be able to sort of like laugh at the past version of you that really worried about these things.
Yes.
And like sort of go, oh, you know, bless you, little Tom. You didn't. You were so worried about this, and it really didn't matter, and it was all fine in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually reassuring as well, because it often makes me think, God, the things I'm worrying about at this point now, at some point, I'll feel like that about those as well.
Absolutely. I think it's it's very strange, isn't it? And I wonder. Yeah, I mean, things we worry about today, I wonder how they'll age, but. But yeah, the sort of, I think shame.
What, Tom, just a global pandemic?
Yeah, people...
We'll laugh about this one day.
We'll laugh about it. But I think shame as well has always felt like a currency that has been, sort of kept a lot of queer people back. Mm-hmm. And sort of made us feel kind of, you know, it's kind of the opposite of pride, I suppose, isn't it, shame?
It is, yeah.
And so...
So it's called No Shame.
No Shame.
And it'll be on your Twitter feed, presumably.
Yes, and you can find it on my social media.
People can pre-order it now.
Yes, indeed.
It's coming out in November, so in time for Christmas.
Just in time for the Christmas stockings.
Tom, what we should do when it's released is you should read a half chapter on here.
Oh, that would
be fun.
Give
everyone a little taste of it.
Give people a taste.
Wouldn't that be good?
I'd love to do that.
And do you think there'll be some sort of party?
Well, I was hoping so. I mean, who knows where we'll be by then.
If nothing else, we'll come to your garden.
Come to the garden. Everybody stands a meter apart and it'll be freezing cold. So come round. Five people at a time.
Like the Queen. We're all just queuing to visit you.
Yeah. Yes, you have to come round the side gate.
Come through the...
And the bins.
Come through the servant's entrance.
Matron. So I hope people like it.
They will. How exciting.
Well.
I'm so excited to read. I'm so proud of you. You've got a book, Tom. What an achievement.
It does feel very grown up to have written a book. It's a different experience because you feel very vulnerable writing it. And then you go, I hope you like it. You can't it's out there. But to be
stand up so instant, isn't it? That's the thing. We all sort of write a thing. Is it funny? Is it not? And then it goes away if it's not. It's a different thing writing a book, but I think I know it's going to be great.
And with stand up, it's sort of done. You know, if you didn't, if you sort of feel a bit like you've been too vulnerable or whatever, it's over. But a book stays there on the shelf. But my thing is to try and be as vulnerable as possible with it, and because otherwise, I think, you know, you don't connect to people, and I like to try and connect with people.
So, absolutely. Also, Tom, I love you dearly, but quite annoyingly, you are one of those people that have actually written a book in lockdown.
Oh, well.
So, dear listener, if you feel like you haven't done anything, don't you worry.
Don't worry.
The best I've done is I've got pretty good at the banana bread, and my pansies are on the up.
Thank you for doing
that. In every sense of the word.
Yeah, they're on the up. They're on the up.
They're on the up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, so you know.
Come to our live show on the 12th. Pre-order Tom's fabulous book, No Shame. And probably join us next week for more Like-Minded Friends.
Please do join us. Come back anytime you like.
Whenever you like. Whenever you like. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.